driven on the lone highway. Men turn into boys on the lone highway. Rest stop creeps thrive on the lone highway. Pretty girls beware out on the lone highway. On the lone highway. Honey, on the lone highway. Left me for another on the lone highway. They killed Dirty Dog McGee on the lone highway. Stroked a little girl's hair on the lone highway. On the lone highway. On the lone highway.
Hello and welcome to Operation Scorpio. Today's date is Saturday, January 15th, 2022. We've already cooked through half of January almost. Amazing. And welcome to the Free Range Open Air Insane Asylum we call Earth. Well, guys, here we are. Here we are living in the last days of the old reality. Oh yeah, the new reality is just over the horizon, and let me tell you guys, it's not too pretty. They intend to put a gullible populace into the vice grip of climate change and quaxination as the two sides of the metal clamps closing in on us all. But of course, they have a contingency plan. If those two emergencies aren't enough to spook the herd. Yeah, and the contingency plan is a war with Russia. An intentionally provoked war by NATO and the international elves within the State Department of the Biden regime. And guys, here's a fun fact. The top three positions of the State Department are all occupied by international elves. Who would have thought, huh? That's a shocker. Anthony Blinken, he's the head elf over there. And then Wendy Sherman, and this woman is doing most of the so-called negotiating with NATO and Russia. And of course, lurking in the shadows as the number three elf is none other than Victoria Nuland, who sort of set the stage for this big mess in Ukraine years ago. And let me tell you guys, the provocative things being said by this Wendy Sherman character, they're a far cry from anything that might resemble negotiations or diplomacy. I mean, I've seen clips of her, you know, on the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media news. I've heard her saying things like, the Russian position is completely ridiculous. They're making unreasonable demands. And those are not the words of someone who's negotiating in good faith. Let's just say that. Those are the words of someone who wants a conflict. And meanwhile, you know, NATO was literally moving into the backyard of Russia. And, you know, I'm not certain personally if Putin is a good guy or what. I think it's questionable. And that's one thing I want to bring up with our panel coming up a little later. You know, Mr. Mike Gatti, Blackbird 9, and Daryl Wayne, the retired pilot, are coming on part of our Meeting of the Minds. And I want to just go into this a little bit with them and see what their take is on this. But there's no question here that the aggressor is NATO. I mean, you know, to say otherwise is just absurd. And it's just amazing the provocative things coming out of this woman's mouth, this international elf's mouth, Wendy Sherman. It doesn't resemble diplomacy, let's say that. And, you know, the idea of getting Ukraine to be part of NATO is absurd, and it's an act of provocation that is literally putting, you know, enemy powers on the border of Russia. And of course, Ukraine was actually part of Russia historically, not that long ago. And they're trying to get, you know, Georgia to be a member of NATO. And of course, Stalin was from Georgia. And I'm sure, you know, the way they're getting all these countries to want to join NATO is they're simply bribing them. They're offering them magic elf shekels and, you know, probably setting up numbered accounts in Luxembourg for these, you know, from these so-called leaders, and offering, you know, little bribes here and there to coerce them and to entice them into joining NATO, which is essentially an archaic organization. I mean, as far as I know, the Soviet Union no longer exists. And that was the whole raison d'etre of NATO. It's the whole thing is so absurd. And the idea that Americans are supposed to care what happens in Ukraine beyond, you know, just making sure people are alive over there. I don't know why Americans are supposed to have some kind of vested interest in this, as our country is, you know, being transformed and, you know, essentially falling apart. We're supposed to be worrying about Ukraine. It's insane. And it's kind of like, you know, imagine if Russia was, you know, enticing Canada to join the Russian alliance. I think that's an analogous event. You know, the international elf and all their compatriots would be screaming bloody murder. And of course, it would be obviously a threat to the sovereignty of both Canada and the United States. Not that those concepts are really as valid as we'd like to think anymore. I really do think that the whole concept of nations has been, made archaic. And we already have a world government. They just haven't told us. So, yeah, you've got these international elves trying to stir the pot and trying to, you know, essentially force Putin into the role of a modern day Hitler. Oh, yeah, the ultimate bad guy, the ultimate boogeyman. But honestly, I think Putin is too shrewd to take the bait. And really, if you look at it this way, what is Europe going to do without Russian natural gas this winter? Are they going to crank up the windmills and turn them up to 11? I mean, really, let's be serious. If there was a real conflict in a true sense of the word, that gas would be turned off. And Europe would be in a real mess, a real dire situation, no question. And so the fact that Europe is almost entirely dependent on Russian gas makes any kind of real war sort of impossible. So if there is a conflict, I believe it'll be a staged managed event, like most things that are pounded into our heads through the enemy war transmissions they call the mainstream media news. And it's sort of like a similar concept here too, with the idea that, oh, we're headed to war with China. Oh, really? Well, the international elf has already made sure that Americans and America is so dependent on cheap Chinese junk that I don't think a real conflict would be possible. A stage managed one would be, sure, yeah. But what would happen if all the Walmart stores stopped receiving all that cheap Chinese junk, what would happen? Havoc would ensue immediately, right? So, you know, it really is sort of a cartoon world that we're asked to view, a clown world. And, you know, we have so many pieces of the puzzle missing. And it's not really clear to anyone on the outside, such as you or me, what kind of secret alliances actually exist at the top of the food chain, you know, at the top of the pyramid. And I, you know, I have a sneaking suspicion that relations with China at the top of the food chain are pretty cozy. You know, the international elf and the banking cartel has been involved in this communist revolution in China since the very beginning. Look into it. It's really quite shocking. And of course, you know, the West has done all it can to bring about the rise of China. They couldn't have done any more. And to think, you know, in the 1970s, China was still, you know, an agrarian nation, fairly backwards. And this transformation could not have happened without considerable help from the West. And of course, you know, the Clintons gave away and sold every military and industrial secret that wasn't nailed down to the floor. Really quite amazing. Of course, the Republicans are playing the same game. It's not like, oh, it's those damn Democrats. If only we get Trump back, that would fix it. Well, guys, be careful what you ask for, because, you know, this Trump character, not only is he pushing the vaccine, but now he's pushing the booster. Get the booster. It's good. Be careful what you ask for, guys, because let's not forget that Trump ushered in this whole Operation Warp Speed, getting the military involved in the creation and distribution of vaccines. How incredibly dangerous. And, you know, it is possible that China is a golem that's gone out of control. That is possible. But it's also possible that all of these conflicts are just staged, managed productions with all of the so-called world leaders merely puppets on a string. And of course, you know, it's really coming out here over the last, you know, few months, especially the last few weeks, that, you know, so many of the so-called leaders of today are actually alumni from the World Economic Forum's Young Globalist Leaders program from the early 1990s. So, you know, these people were picked and groomed all the way back in the 1990s. Angela Merkel, Sarkozy, Macron, Gavin Newsom, Pete Buttigieg, just to name a few, are all graduates of this Young Globalist Leaders program. And it's not just the politicians. Many of the top CEOs that run the most powerful corporations in the world are also, by coincidence, graduates of this program. And those are just a few of the names. You can actually go on the World Economic Forum website and read the names for yourself. It's an open secret. And, you know, there's a really good interview I'd recommend checking out. Bonnie Faulkner from Guns and Butter did a interview with a guy going into depth about World Economic Forum and grooming these people and the web of control that this represents. And, you know, you can find that stuff over at grism.blogspot.com. Lots of good stuff on there. My show's archived there. So is Giuseppe's. Andy Hitchcock show is too. So check it out. Check out that Guns and Butter. I think the guy interviewed, his last name was Wolf, but a good interview. I think he's wrong about a few things, but he's got some interesting things he brings to the table. But then, you know, if you throw in, along with the World Economic Forum as this sort of grooming mechanism, if you throw in, you know, other secret societies like, you know, Skull and Bones, the Rhodes Scholarship, and similar organizations, you really have a whole network of groups that are grooming our so-called leaders and grooming our future. And gee, by coincidence, they all have the same globalist philosophy because they're all essentially funded and controlled by a central source. So, you know, it really is, you know, looking like more and more of what we see on the world stage is scripted. And I'll tell you, you know, one thing that is surely scripted and fake and gay is this whole January 6th insurrection narrative. And, you know, people throwing this word around, insurrection, I don't think even know the definition of the word or what an actual insurrection would actually entail. You know, it's absurd. Here we're seeing, you know, the very fundamentals of Western civilization being torn asunder. And, you know, the enemy war transmissions, known as the mainstream media, are yapping on endlessly about this so-called insurrection. And of course, there's a bigger purpose behind this other than just pointing the finger at some people who essentially took an unauthorized self-guided tour of the Capitol building and took home a few souvenirs and actually entered using the, you know, the velvet guide ropes. So it's really, it is a clown world. And the thing that's hard for me to believe is that so many people eat this stuff up and believe it all to be true. You know, I've covered this insurrection event, you know, many times before. I'm not going to go back into it in detail, but one thing that's really interesting is the arrest of Stuart Rhodes and 11 others. And of course, Stuart Rhodes is the founder of Oath Keepers. Oath Keepers. And let me tell you, this Stuart Rhodes character has Fed agent and agent provocateur written all over him. I mean, just a cursory look into this guy's background raises so many red flags. It's just simply amazing. But we're supposed to believe that this guy is some kind of real leader of the far right. And, you know, just one little fun fact about Stuart Rhodes is that he went to Yale University and got a law degree. Not exactly, you know, a hotbed of right-wing ideology, is it? And, you know, in all likelihood, this man was recruited by some agency while at Yale. And, you know, one thing that is interesting about these World Economic Forum young globalist leaders, almost all of them go to Harvard, at least for a few classes or a stint, or even get a degree there. So there's a connection between, you know, these two schools especially. And of course, you know, Yale University has Bill and Bones, but there's also like five or six other secret societies or fraternities that the elite are, you know, the parasitical elite class are initiated into. The Scroll and Key, Harvard has the Wolf's Head. There's a whole bunch of them. And they all essentially serve the same function, you know, getting young people to accept a globalist ideology and then working behind the scenes for a, you know, a quick rise to the top of these people. So yeah, Stuart Rhodes has just got agent provocateur written all over him. And, you know, while the insurrection was going on, you know, this idiot was tweeting, "We have to storm the Capitol," something like that. And, you know, he even tweeted, "We're not getting out of this without a civil war." Really? Nothing but an actor on a stage. And now, you know, this Stuart Rhodes guy has an eye patch, you know, like a pirate eye patch. And, you know, maybe he really did lose an eye. If he did, you know, I don't want to make fun of anything like that. But, you know, it is possible that it's a movie prop, because what a great movie prop for a villain, a guy wearing a pirate eye patch. you know, this leader of the far right calling for storming the Capitol in a civil war. So at the very least, it's certainly a convenient thing to have this man wearing. And, you know, there's other people involved in this insurrection, these so-called leaders that I believe are playing for both teams, let's say. Yeah, a made-for-TV movie production, that's about all it is. And isn't it interesting, too, how the whole meme of the crazed Muslim terrorist has completely evaporated over these last few years. And now the finger is being pointed at Americans. And that, my friends, is truly, truly dangerous, because the government is turning on its own people, calling them terrorists. If you don't like the jab, you're probably a biological terrorist. If you don't support Groper Joe, you're an insurrectionist. And of course, you know, I believe Trump is another actor. And if he does come back in 2024, I think it'll be extremely dangerous. We're going to see a whole new side of Trump at that point. And, you know, yeah, this whole crazed Muslim terrorist thing has just evaporated, hasn't it? And here we are importing like somewhere around 100,000 Afghani refugees. That's another pattern American has. Starting a war, screwing the whole country up, and then importing thousands upon thousands of refugees into the country to sort of create this new Tower of Babel in the United States. And I just think it's disgraceful we're importing all these people, you know, who have really no cultural ties to this country. And meanwhile, there's, you know, this a literal army of homeless people in almost every major city right now. It's an absolute disgrace. The number of homeless people I see here in San Diego is just amazing. It really is. And not a single word is being said by either side of the aisle, not by the left or the right. It's simply amazing. And it's a disgrace. And I think, guys, what we're dealing with here at, you know, the big picture level is that the enemies of humanity, they are essentially weaponizing the human condition. And they're using the very basic elements of human nature against us. And we're dealing with an entity that truly, truly hates humanity. And of course, you know, many of these Jewish international elf types are the boots on the ground, but there is another power that's directing this, not to, you know, try to dissuade or excuse any of this behavior by these elves, but there is something beyond that that's very dark and truly, truly is at war with humanity itself. And this entity, you know, knows how to tap into human emotion to manipulate us into a very dark world. And we're going to see as we go forward into this year, the weaponizing of basic human needs. Because apparently they're saying the supply chain crisis is accelerating. We just can't unload those cargo ships for some reason. All that stuff from China. Because, you know, we just can't make it here in the United States. It's got to be shipped around the world in these giant cargo ships. And that's another tell that this whole global warming thing is, or this whole climate change thing is a scam. The whole carbon footprint thing. If that was really an issue, the big goal would be to make things locally and avoid shipping things around the world needlessly. But of course, that's all just a smokescreen for the real agenda, isn't it? And, you know, one funny thing, just in closing here, I was monitoring the enemy war transmissions this morning. Lester Holt, NBC Nightly News, and a little bit of PBS NewsHour. And the PBS NewsHour is just so humorous to me because, you know, the arrogance of these people is I find it humorous. We're very intellectual here at PBS, so very, very intellectual. We just parrot the orders from the government, but we're very intellectual about it. We're very intellectual. And, you know, they're trying to explain away why all these fully vaccinated people are in the hospital sick. And they actually had, you know, an interview with several of these people. And, you know, this is so insane. Here they are, they're fully vaxxed and boosted in the hospital sick with COVID. And they're saying, well, thank God I'm vaccinated, because if I wasn't vaccinated, this would be so much worse, as they lie in their hospital bed with all these tubes coming out of them. It would be so much worse if I wasn't vaccinated. And this is proof that the vaccine is working, as they lie in their hospital bed. It's proof the vaccines are working, guys. Unbelievable. It really, really is. And, you know, it's just this cognitive dissonance and this strategy of confusion that has been enacted since the beginning of Operation COVID Hoax. Continuing. And that said, I would like to bring on my main man and my partner in crime, Mr. Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Giuseppe, how are you, sir?
I'm living the dream. How are you, Scorpio? Great intro. You hit on some really vital points. It's an internationalist elf deception in the modern day at every level. It's unbelievable.
It is. It really is. And what did you think about the people lying in their hospital bed, fully vaccinated, sick with COVID, whatever that is exactly, and just thanking God that they're vaccinated, because if they weren't, it would be so much worse. And this is proof the vaccines are working. I mean, I had to laugh out loud at that one.
Oh, yeah. They're so desperate. If you think about the now we're literally approaching year two completion of the scamdemic, what's been said from the beginning by real scientists like Judy Mikovits, like Dr. Lee Merritt, like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, like Dr. Luc Montagnier, like Dr. Mike Eden, the former chief technology officer for Pfizer Europe, is that this has always been a release of a gain-of-function bioweapon, that this is going to get out of control. There's no purpose for this experimental injection. It is a scam. And you can, you know, make yourself a draw a sheet of paper down the middle and draw a line down a sheet of paper and say unvaccinated benefits, vaccinated benefits, which is does it prevent you from getting COVID? Check no, or write in no on both sides. Does it give you any protection? No. All it does is possibly ameliorate some symptoms, possibly, but in the reality is it gives you far greater pathogens to make you sicker. And finally, can it kill you? Unvaccinated, big no. Vaccinated, yes. So it's idiotic. I mean, this whole scam, and you hit the key point a few moments ago, which is this is a spiritual war. This is, you know, we play for Team Divine, and the internationalist elf and these traitorous minions play for Team Devil, and they are literally the operatives of Team Devil. It's just sickening.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, and I just see that if you watch these enemy war transmissions, and to sort of to decipher what the enemy is telling us, You know, it's really they're sending so many mixed messages that I think the end result for the average person that trusts any of this garbage coming out of the television and the radio, that they end up confused because none of it makes any sense. And so then the average person is going to want to appeal to authority and have somebody in authority or an expert in science, you know, decipher all this for them. I think that's part of the strategy they've been using since the beginning. And one other thing that it's amazing, National Public Radio, which is the radio version of PBS, of course, I'm really surprised that, you know, sometimes when I drive around, I'm doing different things, that I go in some pretty remote areas, and like I was out way out in the Arizona desert in the middle of nowhere, and nothing comes through on the radio except one thing. National Public Radio is coming in loud and clear, and that happens all the time. The reach that this propaganda has all over America is truly stunning.
Oh my God. It's well, that's because, I don't know if you know this or not, but my first degree was in a dual degree, journalism and mass communication, radio and television. And one of the classes taught long ago in the early 80s that the reason you can get NPR is because in FM radio, the most powerful stations are at the low end of the frequency spectrum, which is about, you know, 80, 87 to about 107 on your dial. And so it was designated by the FCC back then that public colleges and public radio stations get those best signals. And so that's why you can always hear things where other stations fade, but the powerful low level on the FM bandwidth, you can pick up just about anywhere.
No, I did not know that. That makes sense. Yeah. And yeah, that's why the NPR stations are always at the very bottom there, or at the very top. Yeah, that's interesting. Makes sense. Part of the long game of propaganda, isn't it?
It is all propaganda. It's beyond propaganda now. It's actually lies, out and out gaslighting lies. I mean, as we say, every week it seems I dust off this line that it's like the ESPN late night poker championships of 20 years ago, where it was a big deal and they were first time that stuff was on national cable television, and the dramatic moment when the guy with like $1 million worth of chips would push them in slowly, show he has big testicles and say, I'm all in, show me what you got. And that's what these globalists are doing. They feel they have it so locked up. They've, you know, been studying mind control for over a century, dating back to the Frankfurt School. And then, of course, the vile subhuman Shlomo Freud and his vile subhuman mentally defective daughter, Anna, Edward Bernays, the Tavistock Institute, the Stanford Research Institute, the dark CIA experimentation, you name it. They've become very sophisticated. And what the satanic globalists have essentially figured out how to do is to stop emotional, spiritual, intellectual growth in average citizens somewhere between age 3 and age 9. They have succeeded in keeping the vast majority of goyim cattle, of first world sheeple, very, very immature at every level. And so that what do immature, childlike humans need? They need a parent. They need the nanny state. They need the communist nanny state, the communitarian nanny state. They need the daddy state with the big missile between his legs to protect them from all the evil everywhere. You know, so it's such a tragic scam, and there's so few people who have life experiences that allow them to actually grow into a fully functioning, mature human in the key areas of spiritual development, emotional development, intellectual development, and wisdom. And so you have so many people these days whose frontal lobes work fast because they've been playing computer games, you know, upwards of 35 years, 40 years now, But they lack all the vital elements I previously described moments ago to make them a mature, grounded adult human being.
Yeah, good point. And, you know, if you watch, I don't have a television, but when I'm, you know, traveling or on the road, turn on the television in the hotel. And, I'm just always struck by the idiocy that they've taken, you know, the level of idiocy they've taken our culture to, just adults acting like absolute fools, mindless fools.
Right.
You know, and of course, if you didn't know better, you'd think that really America was a predominantly black country.
And homosexual and Jewish.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's, of course, they're, you know, they're just using the different races like pieces on a chessboard to get the results they want. It's nothing against, black people really, but they're using them right now, to sort of steer our culture and into, you know, this rappy kind of, you know, low level, and, you know, sort of destroying the English language too, just taking the English language down to such a base level.
Right.
Because it's cool, man. It's cool to speak improper English.
Well, what's tragic about the internationalist elf, the satanic parasites, the malignancy that it is that they are actually the greatest racists on the planet. They despise and manipulate all other tribes except their own, and some, I guess, even their own, with the lesser brethren are thrown under the bus as needed. But the funny thing is if the media was actually, you know, independent and controlled by real journalists and free thinkers such as ourselves, I would focus on the 81% of blacks who have overcome the odds and are functioning decently, because very few of any race are successful these days with the, you know, the destruction of the American economy and the tremendous wealth shift and by the parasitic internationalist elf. But, you know, instead, what the globalist media focuses on is the lowest level, the 19% that is, you know, intentionally entrenched in permanent poverty, that is low impulse, incredibly violent, that is basically talentless. I mean, I cannot listen to rap music. It's so bad. It's like any 80 IQ goof who can buy an app that lets you rhyme words is a rapper, right? And the funniest thing to me, as a songwriter and a musician of 40 years, is that they have these apps. That's the famous one is called Anteri's Auto-Tune, where you can take someone out of tune and put them in key with the music. And they can't even figure out how to use Auto-Tune to take these mouth breathers and at least put what they're saying in tune with the music. It's just, you know, sometimes I listen for 30 seconds to see what they're doing as far as, you know, they don't play their own instruments. They just cut and paste beats. And some of those beats are kind of interesting for, you know, and they're all loops, right? They just repeat. Right. So it's a form of entrancement and hypnosis. It's dumbing down the culture. If you think about in the 40s when, you know, the music of the heartthrob was Frank Sinatra, young Frank Sinatra and Benny Goodman and Tommy Dorsey and, you know, the Mills Brothers and Nat King Cole. I mean, they were like incredible singers and musicians. And if you were a professional musician, you had to be on the top of your game. That's all there was. And then you go decade by decade and you see that the satanic Talmudist has intentionally dumbed down and caused the worship of the worst elements of society. And it's gotten worse every decade until now. The modern pop music is unlistenable. There's like a ton of great independent artists and they're not hard to find if you look for them. But anything that's on a major label is just garbage these days. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, there are a few exceptions to that, but I agree. You know, you made a great point too, how this music is mostly sampled. It's not original music. It's not being created. It's being sampled and looped and cut and pasted. And of course, the degradation of art and music is another part of this agenda, because art and music, in its highest form, allows the general public to sort of experience or dream things that they weren't aware of. It helps push the consciousness of the viewer and helps actually move society forward in a very positive way. It has a real function within a society beyond just entertainment. I mean, it's supposed to help lift up the imaginations and the intellectual capacity of the viewer or listener. But of course, you know, that's being weaponized as well. It's being dumbed down to a level that's just unimaginable and most of it unlistenable and unwatchable. And, you know, I was watching the PBS NewsHour and they had this one of these memorials. And of course it was a memorial to one of these, shootings. I forget which one it was, in one of these mass shootings. And of course this Jewish woman was the, creator of this monument. It was just the ugliest damn thing I've ever seen. Just hideous and a downer to look at, and confusing. Like, what the hell is this even supposed to be, you know, other than an ugly piece of crap?
Yeah.
And, you know, making monuments on that level versus some of the great statues and the incredible artwork that was done, these lifelike statues with incredible detail and just incredible beauty. That's, you know, we got to tear those down and melt them down and throw them in the, you know, ash can of history. Let's replace them with these hideous monuments. Like, for example, the, you know, the 9/11 monument, that big black pool, which might be, you know, hiding the radiation from underneath the site there, who knows.
Right.
But, you know, this is an example of the hideousness of and the destruction of art and music.
Oh, well said. Yeah. I thought you made another excellent point, which was the, I started looking at the chat while I was trying to say something and lost my train of thought. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. It'll come back. It always does.
Well, let me get your thoughts on this then. Let's sort of shift gears here. And, you know, what are your thoughts on this, you know, World Economic Forum sort of, you know, it's, you know, shaping so-called leaders, you know, back from the 90s, you know, putting them in these programs, indoctrinating them, essentially make, you know, monitoring these people and making sure that they are on the right page, and then giving them this sort of, you know, meteoric rise to power. And, you know, one guy I forgot to mention that was part of this was this Larry Fink character, who's the head of BlackRock. And, of course, BlackRock and Vanguard are like the two, you know, megalithic 90s, you know, putting them in these programs, indoctrinating them, essentially make, you know, monitoring these people and making sure that they are on the right page, and then giving them this sort of, you know, meteoric rise to power. And, you know, one guy I forgot to mention that was part of this was this Larry Fink character, who's the head of BlackRock. And, of course, BlackRock and Vanguard are like the two, you know, megalithic
in the 60s and 70s. Remember when Bill Clinton got to meet a JFK as a sitting president a few months or a year before he got his head blown off by the Hidden Hand. And so, yeah, they have been grooming their future marionettes to rule on the global stage. I mean, did you see that picture that's been making the rounds the last few years of teenage Angela Merkel and a few months or a year before he got his head blown off by the Hidden Hand? And so, yeah, they have been grooming their future marionettes to rule on the global stage. I mean, did you see that picture that's been making the rounds the last few years of teenage Angela Merkel and Tom,
and they have these people whose, you know, backgrounds are questionable, you know, like Barack Obama, for example,
There you go.
We don't really know who their father is, and they go around, making these bastard offsprings. So it looks like, oh, Bill Clinton is the American dream. He came from nowhere, from a poor family, just a good old boy from Arkansas, happened to become the youngest attorney general in Arkansas state history, the youngest governor in Arkansas state history, and president of the United States. It's the American dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, that meeting with Clinton, that was an arranged group of so-called overachievers of the day. You know, that was the same thing like they did with it's more refined now, but
state history, the youngest governor in Arkansas state history, and president of the United States. It's the American dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, that meeting with Clinton, that was an arranged group of so-called overachievers of the day. You know, that was the same thing like they did it's more refined now, but
families is extremely important because they the youngest governor in Arkansas state history and president of the United States. It's the American dream come true.
Yeah, I mean, that meeting with Clinton, that was an arranged group of so-called overachievers of the day. You know, that was the same thing like they did it's more refined now, but
families is extremely important because they I think we're dealing with a pretty strange reality at the top, and Bill Clinton is a great example of that, Giuseppe. Well said.
Yeah, it's been around a long time, sadly, and it's really funny that you know that was the same thing, like they did it's more refined now, but
families is extremely important because they I think we're dealing with a pretty strange reality at the top, and Bill Clinton is a great example of that, Giuseppe. Well said.
Yeah, it's been around a long time, sadly, and it's really funny that the satanic Talmudists gets to champion and trumpet their perpetual victim lies. So.
Yeah, right. They're kicked out of 109 countries for no reason at all. You know, it's nothing to do with their behavior or the schemes they've had or their corrosive influence upon the civilization which they implanted themselves. So it's just victimhood. And of course we have a hierarchy of victimhood now. The greater the victimhood, the higher up on the food chain you go. And of course it's all the evil white man's fault. This is all just using the racial groups as pieces on the chessboard. And, they know exactly what they're doing. There's no accidents there. And yeah, this idea of victimhood now, the greater the victimhood, the higher up on the food chain you go. And of course it's all the evil white man's fault. This is all just using the racial groups as pieces on the chessboard. And they know exactly what they're doing. There's no accidents there. And yeah, this idea,
deep dysfunctional wounds in their psyche, and they take it out on these children, and it all appears to be we're kumbaya, let's let the gays have their families too, and part of me gets it, but a bigger part of me realizes that you're just creating a potential horrific experience for those young innocent children. And look, if you're let's face it, the typical homosexual lifestyle is not a committed relationship. It is going to the gay bars and doing all their deviant insertion of large items into their orifices and all kinds of sick shit and drug abuse, and I could go on and on, but they're basically not ideal parenting material in my mind.
No, and there's always been homosexuals, there always will be, but the point, again, this is the weaponizing of homosexuals and the promotion of it, and, I think, too, the end game of all this is that the next step is, open pedophilia.
Yep.
And if you don't like that, you're a hater. because they want to bring that out too. And that's why we're seeing this push. Well, young children can decide their gender. And once you establish that as sort of this right that children have, then it's not a big step to say, well, hey, children have the right to have sex if they want to. And if you don't like that, either, you know, there's something wrong with you. You're a hater, and you're probably a domestic terrorist too.
Well, that's just it. As I replay that montage at the end of every intro I do for my show, there you go. That's what the Talmudists wants, right? I mean,
right.
Started out with gay rights. Now we're in the middle of trans rights. And I mean, could it be any more ridiculous? But we're talking about, you know, Satanists, inbred, insane, violent, unhinged Talmudic Satanists. And so now they're moving the Overton window. So some mental defective dude dresses like a woman and gets to compete in women's sports. And he set the woman's record. Hey, pal. Hey, buddy. You're a guy. You're a mentally ill dude. And you have every physical advantage over women. Why don't you come and play with the big boys, buddy, and let's see how well you do. You know, it's just like mental defective every which way. I mean, look at – is there any more obvious mental defective than Rear Admiral Dick Levine, the vile Talmudicist dual citizen traitor who's now been propped up by the living glory hole ultimate traitor Joe Biden? Should really pronounce that Jew Biden, because he's so controlled by the internationalist elf, it's vulgar and offensive. I mean my God, it's like the average shithead who goes and marches to BLM and doesn't understand it's a scam, and Antifa doesn't understand it's communism, and that everything that people, the decent vast majority, the silent, but it's becoming a little less silent, they're starting to murmur like, what the F is going on? Why are we letting this satanic Talmudic cancer eat away at the very fabric, every level of our government and our leadership? The reality is there should be no internationalist elf in any position of power in this country, other than, as I said yesterday on my show, in the District of Criminals has a representative in the House of Representatives. It's been the same woman, Eleanor Holmes Norton, since I first moved out here in the 80s. She keeps getting reelected, but she has no real power. She's just a token little monkey who gets to act like she gets to give speeches, but her vote doesn't count. That should be
Hey, we're at the top of the hour. Everyone stay tuned. Okay, welcome back to hour number two of Operation Scorpio. And in this hour, we're going to bring together a meeting of the minds with three gentlemen that I have the highest regard for. And whenever I talk to these guys, I always learn something, and they always make me think in ways that I personally hadn't thought of. So without further delay, let me bring on Mr. Mike Gatti, the rebel madman himself, Blackbird 9, and Mr. Daryl Wayne, the retired pilot. Gentlemen, how are you guys doing today?
Well, I'll speak if no one else is. Happy New Year!
Well, I was just going to say, if I was any better, I'd probably be a retired airline pilot living in Alabama.
Well, Victor, you got the right Victor on that. I got it. I'm in tall cotton over here. So
we're just living the dream here on Blackjack Mountain.
Yeah.
All right. It's all rainbows and unicorns for everybody. That's good to hear.
There we go.
Okay. Well, you know, I wanted to sort of start off the conversation with briefly with a couple of current events, and I don't like to go into current events too much because it, you know, it gets to this thing where we're just reacting to the provocations of the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media. But I'm curious to get your guys' take on two different things, and I'd like to start off just briefly with the provocation of Russia and NATO, and we might be going to war with Russia. And here, you know, here we have the, you know, the State Department completely run by international elves, and you know, provoking, certainly provoking Russia. To me, it's questionable, you know, if Putin is a true, you know, good guy or not. I have my doubts about that. But it does seem that they're trying to, you know, sort of have as a contingency plan some kind of conflict with Russia, which, you know, would have to be stage managed to some degree, because as I pointed out in my introduction, you know, all of Europe pretty much, or Western Europe, is dependent upon Russian natural gas to run their electricity and their heat their homes. So maybe Mike Gatti could start off with this. Mike, how do you see this conflict with Russia sort of in the larger context?
Well, guys, let me first say it's indeed a pleasure to be with all you gentlemen. It's I certainly love taking time from my Saturday afternoon to join people with this intellectual level of understanding. Let's suffice this to say, I would take, regardless of what Putin actually is, I would take Putin right now over anybody in the American government. And, you know, and I realize that people are probably going to go, oh, you must be a commie. You can call me whatever you want to. Our government is full of socialists, has been since FDR. Well, we could go back and say has been since Abraham Lincoln. But we have had socialists in this government. Well, we had socialists in the founding. Let's not forget the good old fairy elf Alexander Hamilton. So, I look at this and this government operates on fear. This government, if they cannot make you afraid, they have lost control. And I think people need to understand that they operate completely on fear. And almost now that they have 24-hour control of the lobotomy box, they just push fear over and over and over. Tune into the Communist News Network or fake news, whatever you want to do. Listen to any of them and then look at the very basis of everything they are pushing 24 hours a day is fear.
Well, that's so true, Mike. You're hitting the nail on the head there. Yeah, that's the magic, you know, grease that keeps the machine running is fear. And of course, Operation COVID is all fear 24 hours a day. If you don't take that jab, you're going to die. That's certainly true. How do you see this so-called conflict with Russia? Really, all that's happened is, you know, Putin has moved a bunch of troops around within the borders of his own country. And we're seeing a lot of provocative statements coming from the Elf-run State Department. In a bigger context, what do you see? You know, certainly it's more fear. Well, we might have a third world war. But do you see any other, you know, sort of reasons for this? Or what do you see, think is happening behind the scenes?
Well, guys, let's jump back to 1962. 1962, we have the October crisis, you know, missiles in Cuba. And Americans are going batshit crazy because the Russians have missiles in Cuba. Actually, they had many more intermediate range missiles than we even knew about. And had we decided to retaliate, they could have pretty well taken out, anything in the United States within short range. But the crazy thing about it was Americans were all upset about this. You know, oh, gosh, they've got missiles in Cuba. The Russians shouldn't have missiles in Cuba. But no one is realizing that we had missiles in Turkey, ICBMs in Turkey, within 50 miles of the Soviet Union. But because we're the good guys, we're always the good guys. What we do is okay, but what other people do is wrong. And right now, what I'm looking at is just something with the Russian and with the Chinese. They've been harping on this for years now. All this is to keep the American public afraid. A brave people do not need government. Only cowards cherish government.
Well, Mike, you know, and your viewpoint on government is just proving to be true more and more every day. It's just... And once you truly understand where you're coming from, it's it's hard to turn back and see it another way. Let's get Daryl's take on this and then go on to Frederick, Blackbird 9. Daryl, what are your thoughts, sir?
Well, you know, Mike did a great job of covering that. You know, I could probably take the approach of looking at it, how it affects the individual. Let's see, if I'm correct here, we've been antagonizing the Soviet Union and or Russia for, since the end of World War II, wasn't it? So there's been a provocation. So as it affects the individual, we have this very successful program here where we, in the population of not only America but the world, we induce alternating inputs of adrenaline and then dopamine. Adrenaline, fear, dopamine will take care of you. Here, come watch Walter Cronkite. Come watch Sean Hannity. Come watch whoever. Get your dopamine fix. It'll all be okay. Government will take care of you. You need us. You depend upon us. And then you continually just psychologically and physiologically reinforce this. There is absolutely a physiological compound to your addiction to media. I think this is really overlooked. It's a component of people's behavior. the Cuban Missile Crisis is a great example of the Soviet Union wasn't going to attack the United States because where would they get their funding? Yes. If they did that. And the other side of that is with this crisis, with the Cuban Missile so-called crisis and the Bay of Pigs, you now have a political good guy, the good guys, moral high ground to expend and invest in the military-industrial complex, which is a self-licking ice cream cone. Every time you need more funding, you just increase the adrenaline and the fear, and then that anesthetizes everybody, and they just go back into it. So most of the time, these topics that you refer to as current news, I refer to as petty politics, and I actually don't put much effort into the petty politics. I look at history to inform the trajectory of where these things are going. So,
yeah, that's very true, and it's all just stagecraft and a play that we're supposed to watch and believe is to be reality. I totally agree. Okay, Blackbird, what are your thoughts on the great struggle with Russia? And isn't it funny how, right after World War II, where Uncle Joe helped us win the war against the dastardly Adolf Hitler, suddenly they were our enemy, and now we're seeing a repeat of all that. What are your thoughts, Blackbird?
Russia, Russia, Russia! First off, just Happy New Year to all, and it's indeed an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to be with you gentlemen today, and it's wonderful snowy January afternoon here on a Saturday. I guess I go back to, for those familiar with my work, I look at everything from a system engineering standpoint and a lot of reverse engineering, where it's like, oh, this event here provided these data dots that we didn't have back here. So what happens if we take those data dots and put them back there? How does it change the pattern? And it's fascinating to me when people say 9/11 changed everything. And I'm a firm believer in that because it certainly changed everything for me. But one of the big dynamics with 9/11 was with NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. And what's interesting there is you know, you have all these organizations out there that are looking for a purpose. And when the Soviet Union fell apart in 1991, we went into the break.
My bad.
But when the Soviet Union, you know, dissolved in 1991, you know, along with it was the Warsaw Pact that also dissolved. So you had the Soviet Union from 1922 to 1991, the Warsaw Pact from 1955 to 1991, and they were the enemies after the Cold War, right? And then you have the Soviet Union falling apart, and all of a sudden you see this rise of Putin after, you know, the Jewish oligarchs finally got run out of the country. And suddenly, you know, you got Putin, and he's bringing the churches back that the, you know, the communist Jews had destroyed. He's bringing all this prosperity to Russia. And instead of embracing Russia as finally throwing off the evil mantle of communism and Marxism, and they're getting, you know, back on board with Western civilization, you know, and everything, we find that our new America is against Russia for some reason. And, you know, it's the new demon. And you look at, you know, okay, well, what has happened in our country? And one of the things you see is when the Soviet Union fell, all those rabid communists, globo homos communists, came to the United States and set up shop. And, you know, with Mockingbird and all this, you know, you just see this mass, you know, consolidation of media. So we're now the new Soviet Union. And during the Clinton administration, they were really trying to bring in a Soviet Federation system with NAFTA, you know, saying we're going to, you know, have open borders, and we're going to have Mexico, United States, and Canada, and they're going to be the North American, you know, union. And you're going to have the European Union. And then that started falling apart. So, of course, it's Russia's fault. So, you know, with this latest brinkmanship and saber rattling, I'm like, well, is it just a distraction because people are exposing the COVID big lie, COVID 9/11 big lie? Is it a big distraction because the Ghislaine Maxwell trial is getting ready to blow up the entire Israeli Unit 269 Mossad blackmail, bribery, child sex slavery, you know, international ring that was going on? And so we need the massive distraction. So let's go back to Russia, Russia, Russia. So those are just some of the, you know, thoughts I have on the matter. So back to you.
Oh, very good points. Yeah. Of course, they framed this whole, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell trial is just her and Jeffrey Epstein, you know, having sex romps with barely underage girls, you know, 14 to 17, but that's all it was. And oh, by the way, we're going to, you know, make the client list, you know, top secret information for the next 50 years. Never mind any of that. Please continue shopping. Giuseppe, what are your thoughts on the evil Vladimir Putin moving? Really all that's happened so far is he's moving troops around within the border of his own country and poised to become the new Hitler.
I think that we're watching pro wrestling on the political stage, because anyone who can do any actual critical thinking research realizes, as the rebel madman Mike Gaddy's covered in many of his shows, that the communists who, like the malignancy of the R, have infiltrated this American government, you know, a century ago, starting with Woodrow Wilson, and especially after World War II, there was like an open faucet on a garden hose, full pressure of wealth and technology transfer to the Soviet Union. I mean, we gave them the ability to build an atomic bomb. We gave them the latest weapons technology. I mean, it was embarrassing. And then Clinton did the same thing. The traitorous pedophile Bill Clinton did the same thing with China. So this is the Rothschild global empire. They're loyal marionettes constantly propping up the pro wrestling villain. I mean, it's either going to be Soviet Union, now known as Russia, or China. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, good points. And, you know, I want to just delve into one other little issue here. Then I want to hand over the questions to you, Giuseppe. But the next thing I just kind of want to go through the rounds is, you know, this insurrection of the Capitol on January 6th. And we almost lost our democracy, guys. We came within a hair's breadth of losing our democracy. But, you know, I don't want to play the reaction game to all this provocation by the media. But what I find interesting is number one, the use of these agent provocateurs as the so-called leaders. You know, this Stuart Rhodes character with his pirate eye patch and his Yale University law degree and a lot of other things about his background that just are very odd, as the leader of this far right, you know, crew, and him tweeting out, we're not getting out of this without a civil war. And, you know, just the most provocative things you could possibly say. And, you know, again, leading the other 11 people being charged, you know, right to the slaughter, acting as a Judas goat. And the end result here is the finger is being pointed at Americans as the terror threat. And, you know, I even heard that the FBI has a special bomb unit squad because all these right-wing terrorists are working on making bombs now. And you can buy the materials at many local hardware stores. So they're asking hardware store owners to keep an eye out for any suspicious purchases. You know, so here the evaporation of the evil Muslim terrorist meme is just, you know, complete. There is, that doesn't exist, yet the real threat are American citizens that don't like what's happening in this world. So that's what I find interesting about it. Mike, why don't you start off again? You know, what are your thoughts on this Stuart Rhodes character and, you know, some other so-called leaders, and where do you think this takes us in terms of the grand narrative?
Well, I had a couple of thoughts on that, and I've been discussing that with a couple of former associates or colleagues, if you will. And here is one thing that I know for a fact. In 2010, I had been writing for one of the top libertarian websites on the web for about 5 years, and my articles were published on a routine basis. In 2010, in January, I wrote an article in which I said that, or I intimated, I didn't come out and say it, but I intimated the fact that the Oath Keepers and the Constitutional Sheriffs Association were both assets of the U.S. government. So I write this article, I submit it to the Libertarian website, and I am almost immediately get an email back from the gentleman whose name adorns that website. And he says, look, I can't publish this because what you are writing is a clarion call for civil disobedience in America. And I wrote back to him. So I write this article, I submit it to the Libertarian website, and I am almost immediately get an email back from the gentleman whose name adorns that website. And he says, look, I can't publish this because what you are writing is a clarion call for civil disobedience in America. And I wrote back to him.
I have people playing the game. You can't have someone like you pointing out the real pieces on the board and what they're really up to, right?
Well, I thought it was ironic. And then let's not forget that after that, a couple of years after that, Stuart Rhodes goes bounding into Nevada and goes to Clive and Bundy in the middle of the Bundy fiasco and says, look here, I can really help you out here. We'll donate some money. We'll donate some food. We'll donate some other stuff. As long as you allow me to be in control of the entire operation here. Now, gentlemen, I heard this directly from the mouth of Clive and Bundy. This is not hearsay. And so he tells, you know, and I thought it was ironic that, you know, Stuart Rhodes shows up and he offers according to Cliven Bundy, he offers him a check for $2,000 to help out. But yet on the website for the Oath Keepers, it shows that their donations were over $25,000. So he offers Cliven Bundy $2,000 to take over the operation. And Cliven Bundy says, go pound sand. No, you're not taking over the operation. So then he, from his wonderful abode at that time, where he was staying in a luxurious room in Mesquite, Nevada, he leaves, or Arizona, whichever one it is. He leaves and he says, okay, well, I'll just take my goods and I'll go home. Well, then suddenly there appears Sheriff Mack from the Constitutional Sheriff's Association, and he shows up, and in a TV video, Sheriff Mack says, look, here's what we want to do. We decided, now he didn't say who we were, but it certainly wasn't Cliven Bundy, because I asked him at breakfast one morning in Utah. And he says, we have decided to put the women in front, because if the BLM agents open fire, they're going to kill women first. That'll be to our advantage. Now, who in the hell says that?
Wow. That's crazy. And, you know, Mike, I just find it so interesting that, you know, once you start pointing out the phony leaders, that's when all the sirens go off and you get kicked off this website and you have black SUVs in your yard, because that's the dangerous part, is when people stop believing the narratives that they're told. That's where the real danger is. And I think it really shows you are like right over the target there. Daryl, what are your thoughts on all of this, these phony leaders and these phony fake and gay insurrections and the finger being pointed at Americans now?
Yeah, well, you can't have a Don King boxing match unless both sides are in the fix. Okay. Talk about a clown show, right? I think Don King sort of set the baseline for what a clown show can be. You know, he was pre WWF or whatever, you know. So, yeah. So we're talking about the integrity and validity of a terrorist organization who facilitated and subsidized the bombing of the World Trade Center in 1993. Facilitated a terrorist activity. Who was that? Oh, I'm sorry. That was the FBI. Oh, I see. Right. They're epitome of integrity and the American way. Right. So listen, if you don't have a comprehension of COINTELPRO, and if you don't know what that is, and you don't know what Operation Gladio was, then you're not going to see the players. But these are the players. They're just running Operation Gladio American style here. And the FBI and the so-called intelligence agencies are the facilitators, funders, and instigators of it all. So, I mean, it's pretty straight up, which means that anybody with any prominence is a player.
Right.
Okay. So if there is actually any traction at any level, then they have to be players. Anybody else will be taken out before that. They can't have any organic activities. This is why social media and metadata is so important for them to have omnipresent in communications and intel. So, I don't believe anything. I don't believe any of their narratives. I always operate from the premise I always have something wrong if I believe their narratives. I know I've gone off course.
There you go. And the most important thing is to believe in the clown show and to believe in the players in the clown show. And once you go off the rails on that one, then that's the real danger for the controllers.
Yeah. You have to stay on the tracks to the destination, and Stuart Rhodes. He's in trouble now. He's in trouble now. Ghislaine Maxwell, she's in trouble now. No, she's not.
Right.
No, she's not. This is why Charles Lieber's not in trouble. He was protected. Okay. You're supposed to believe that there are good guys. They have to maintain this childish idea, this mythology in you that there are good guys. This is an imperative. This is one of the cornerstones of the foundation they build everything on, that there are good guys. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
And there aren't. Yeah.
So true. That's what keeps people believing in the clown show. Blackbird Nine, what are your thoughts on this, as you'd like to call it, the fake and gay reality that we're being shown here, and the idea that the great leaders within our movements are actually part of the clown show, and in regards to the insurrection and Stuart Rhodes with his eye patch on looking like a pirate? What are your thoughts, sir?
Oh, totally the fake and gay clown world, professional wrestling. And I remember, you know, we actually were covering the Bundy BLM standoff. That was one of our first shows on the Breakfast Club, and we had Miss Patricia Aiken out there, and all of a sudden everything's just blowing up, and we're trying to, you know, piece together what's happening. And you just really see the same pattern of this controlled opposition. And the way these Marxists operate is right out of the Lenin school of the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. And so you always have these organic movements, and then you have these synthetic actors that run to the front and say, I'm the leader, I'm the leader. So you look for a movement and then you run to the front of it. And with these people, you know, it's basic counterintelligence. They are there to infiltrate, subvert, and conquer if need be. You know, and that's the thing, is you take an organic movement, you infiltrate it, and it's like, okay, can we use this to our advantage, or do we just need to destroy this group? You know, if they can't be corrupted, if they can't be manipulated, then we do have to destroy it. But like you say, you get these charismatics out there. These people that just have that natural charm, can lie like, you know, it's nothing to them. And that's part of that Marxist mindset, that there's no such thing as objective truth. Truth is whatever you need it to be. And so they just come out, they say all the right things, they've got their scripts, and they always have funding. That's the big thing with any carpetbagger, with their weaponized philanthropy. We're here to help. Here's money. All you have to do is let us be in charge. And we saw that with the Bundy Ranch standoff with BLM. We saw this when, if you remember, Cindy Sheehan, when she was, you know, at the vanguard of the 9/11, or at the peace movement after 9/11, and she started dipping a toe into 9/11 truth. And you saw how viciously all those Jewish American princesses from Code Pink just turned on her and put her in her place. You know, little Goyim Cindy Sheehan was great as long as she was, you know, saying all the right things. But when she started questioning Israel and questioning, you know, 9/11, suddenly, you know, she had to be shut down by Code Pink and all those other so-called peace groups. And you know, so you saw the same thing with the, you know, liberal left peace movements as you see in the so-called radical right, with all these, you know, leaders like in Charlottesville. I'm like, who are these guys in Charlottesville? And, you know, what have, you know, I've never worked with any of them, and I've been doing this a long time, and they definitely have no use for my work. But suddenly they're all the leaders of Charlottesville, and they're the leaders of January 6th. And so you just look at, you know, who gets airtime. You know, Mockingbird doesn't let anybody get airtime unless it suits their purpose. So They're either going to amplify the message or they're going to attenuate the message down to totally silencing the message. And we call that, you know, lying by omission. So that's just kind of my take on it. It's just like, you know, these charismatics that have a lot of money from somewhere that come in and we want to take over, I got no use for them. So back to you.
Great points. And of course, you know, at the Unite the Right March, with the tiki torches, you know, what a great optic to invoke this fear amongst the liberal types of, oh my God, it's Nazi Germany all over again. It's really happening. Oh yeah. It's incredible. Giuseppe, let's get your take on this fake and gay Don King style clown world led by a guy with an eye patch on and a Yale degree from a law degree from Yale. Let's get your take on that. And then why don't you go ahead and kick off the conversation wherever you want to take it, sir?
Sure. My thoughts are that it's becoming surrealist and absurdist, the level of these farcical lies that are now being run up the globalist media flagpole. So the most idiotic one is this, that this invitation by FBI provocateurs wearing FBI jackets who moved the impenetrable barrier of a bike rack and waved people into the Capitol. And then with, as you observed on your show last week, that there just so happened to be a guy with a 4K HD camera filming it at the same time people entering the doors, at the same time some goof, the doors are wide open, decided I should climb up the wall, as you know, the director said, hey, climb up that wall, it'll make for really good optics of this incredibly oafish community theater invasion of the Capitol on January 6th. It's so obvious that they feel, they being the globalist malignancy, the satanic malignancy, believes that they have dumbed down the average normie so completely that they can do living cartoons and people will believe it, especially the incredibly weak-minded liberal communitarian types who just want to sing kumbaya and have everybody be equal in their enslavement. That's my statement about that. It's just so absurd. And yet the Talmudic Satanists have such control of the global media down to the local level that everybody's seen that really clever video editing where you start out with some talking head newsreader in Iowa saying, white supremacy, domestic terrorism are our greatest threat. And then they go to someone in Kansas, someone in California, and each news anchor at the same time locally is saying the exact same lead phrase. And I can tell you what, when I was a professional journalist in the 80s, that would never have happened. I wrote for the largest morning daily in Wisconsin. I was on part of the morning team for the largest rock station in the state. And I had good friends. In fact, one of my professors was a reporter for the largest TV station in the state, and that would never have been able to happen. There was no way you could control every local media and have them read exactly the same script. It's vulgar, it's offensive, and it's going on. And so my question first, we'll start with the Rebel Madman. By the way, Mike, I haven't talked to you since last year. It's good to hear your voice again. I know you've been busy, as have I. And then go Daryl and Frederick. But to me, this is taking a very dark, sinister turn, that the two greatest villains of the last year are the unvaccinated, which is natural people naturally committed to their health who understand that there is no injected immunity. There's only natural immunity, and you have to boost your own natural immunity to survive these bioweapon gain of function releases. And secondly, domestic terrorists are just decent white people who can think somewhat and are still being fooled because they put on their red, white, and blue Speedos and go out to barbecues and talk about, I'm more patriotic than you. No, no, I'm more patriotic than you. Look at, I just got a tattoo of the American flag. No, no, well, look at this. But at least they're somewhat understanding the threat to this country, but not really. But those two groups of the last few somewhat tenuous bastions of ability to think a little bit, which is natural immunity and people who are committed to their own natural health and decent law-abiding white people are now the new villains. I mean, Mike, what the hell is going on?
Well, Double G, it's great to hear your voice as well. And I, you know, I've missed our get-togethers, but hopefully now that we're through the holiday season, they will be more frequent in nature. But here is a question I have. While the news media has been so eloquently presented here by Scorpio and you just, Seppi are screaming Russia, 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 Russia. But yes, the first com out, and that's the operation, as units, mountains, now undergoing extensive to go to war against domestic terror.
I know. Disturbing. Very disturbing.
Why are we doing that? Why do we have these forces in the Appalachian preparing to? It just doesn't make sense. If Russia is so scary, why do you have your special operations command going through military exercises to defend the government from domestic terrorists? Who does the government really believe the enemy is? And you know, we look at this and, you know, I remember back in, I think it was 2015, there in the early part of the year, sitting at the table having breakfast with Clive and Bundy, secretary, I can't remember her name, but also our, that you guys have heard on several occasions, program Dale Williams. And we're sitting, we're talking about this, and this is when Clive and it gave me on what was going on and the things that I learned command operation over to him and the Oath Keepers because the FBI, he had first class intel, absolute concrete intel from his sources in the military that the U.S. government was going to do a strike. They were going to do a drone strike against Clive and Bundy and the ranch. That is what Rhodes told Clive and Bundy to attempt to get command of the operation. Now, you know, I think the question would have been, had he been successful, had Clive said, okay, you just take control now, had he been able to scare Clive and Bundy into doing that, what would have been the outcome out there? What was the PSYOP that they were trying to create? And I do believe that PSYOP fell apart on them because I do not believe they were believing that that many people were going to come to the aid of a rancher in Utah and Nevada. So that is a question I have. But the whole thing makes no sense whatsoever. But gentlemen, we all know you have to have a super dumbed down population that will believe this kind of stuff and never look before the surface and make sure that you spend your requisite 12 to 14 hours a day in front of the lobotomy box and make sure you're cheering for your favorite sports team.
Yeah, so, Daryl, your thoughts on...
I'll turn it back to you, Double G.
Daryl, your thoughts on this disturbing new trend of the internationalist elf, which controls this illegally installed government, lock, stock, and bagel, vilifying the actual decent level of remaining society. You know, they champion the flotsam and jetsam, the deviant homosexual, the deviant crossdresser. I was just seeing I don't know if you caught this swimmer, this fella, a dude. He's got he can go to the sausage fest, a ladies' night, and hook up with another dude. This University of Pennsylvania swimmer who compares himself to Jackie Robinson and mocks the actual biological female swimmers. And I mean, it's just absurd. The internationalist, the Talmudic Satanist is propping up every outlier, every flotsam and jetsam of society now, including themselves. They're the ultimate flotsam and jetsam. And yet real people, decent people, we're the villains, man. The unvaxxed and the domestic terrorists who actually want to try and hold on to some freedoms in their actual lives are being vilified. Daryl, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, this pseudo woman and Dick Levine, you know, it's interesting. You know, maybe if they could provide evidence of their menstrual periods, that would give us a bit more credibility. You know, tell us about your experience there, Dick.
Well I
was living in Wisconsin. It was what was that? I was probably just right around 2000, and I remember being on Oklahoma Avenue listening to public radio, and in Wisconsin, Kathleen Dunn.
Yeah,
and they were talking about Ben Marins. They were talking about in the Clinton administration how Cal Powell's son, who was in charge of the SEC, had administratively written statute codes and regulations so that the media rules changed and how many stations and papers and all this stuff you could own. This was done under Clinton, wasn't it? Yeah. So this is how you consolidate the Mockingbird media so that they can, you know, do what they were doing. The Cliven Bundy situation, he was the, you know, I was really involved and I sort of glued to that whole situation. I was just chewing at the bit to get in my Dodge diesel truck and a trailer and drive out there. I couldn't figure out how to get away from here. I wanted to go. And so I understand that it was really drawing on the real ideals of a lot of people. They ran towards the fight, so to speak, and I think that did take the FBI and COINTELPRO, counterintelligence, by surprise. I think in particular the stand down that occurred in the draw with the cows and the cowboys, I think that took them by a little bit by surprise. The Bundys were the proto white American rural terrorist. And, as Mike said, they lost the high ground on that, the narrative. And, it's taken them a long time to, reintegrate that into the mainstream narrative now. That whole case was closed, if I understand right, Mike, with prejudice. When the court proceedings closed, it was with prejudice, so they couldn't be reopened again. So this is
very much so. Double D, just let me throw this in there. And it was basically because of the testimony of the BLM's number one. I won't call them Nazis anymore. I hate that phrase. We need to call them Marxists. And those are the bad guys. But anyway, the BLM's number one Marxist there was an agent by the name of Mike Love, and he testified under oath, under cross-examination, that the U.S. government actually had and maintained a hit list of Americans that they needed to get rid of. And that is what turned that trial upside down. Of course, you didn't hear anything about that on CNN or any of the others. But when he admitted under oath that the federal government maintained a hit list of Americans, and if you go back and look at this agent for BLM and look what he did to communities in Utah, trumped up charges where you had good people committing suicide because of the trumped up charges that were brought against them for having a couple of pieces of clay or something like this that had been deemed antiquities by this sadistic bastard. So sorry, DW, I didn't mean to interrupt on you there, but I believe that needed to be brought out.
No, absolutely. That's that's one of the, it's always the great thing about being on a with a crew like this is that you can laterally hand the ball off when needed to. And so, yeah, that's my perspective on it, Double G. And
Blackbird Nine, you are living it. You are a vilified villain now, to be purposely redundant. And I mean, with your excellent show, which runs live, technology allowing, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, The Breakfast Club, which is one of the must listen to on my weekly monitoring of sane people. And you know, you've outlined in great detail the whole malignant infiltration of North Kakalaki and Blackjack Mountain area by Adams Publishing and these traitorous lowlifes who have infiltrated Appalachian State University. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's Marxist, communist, a century later, and it's incredibly effective. So your thoughts on being made, you're a hero, and yet now you're the villain. How do you feel about that?
Oh, yeah, it's amazing to me. You know, North Kakalaki is definitely ground zero in the culture wars. You know, if they can take North Kakalaki out, the rest of the Southeast will fall because, you know, you've got Florida already occupied. And so if North Carolina goes, Virginia goes, then the whole Appalachian, you know, range is going to fall. And it's just amazing to me, you know, growing up in this area, actually from this area, my ancestors trace their history in these mountains to colonial times. And suddenly you're, you know, a stranger in your own lands. You know, I'm a stranger in a strange land that used to be my home. And an example of this is our Charlotte Observer, Echo, 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 has a headline story this week, guerrilla war exercises to be fought across rural North Carolina counties, Army War. So basically you've got over two dozen North Carolina counties in the coming weeks that are setting up war game scenarios called Operation Robin Sage, where the bad guys are, of course, you know, rural white people that are now the new domestic terrorists, right? So Diversity Squad has to come in and take out those evil white people. And so, you know, this is on the ground exercises going on in North Carolina right now. And you look at how Mockingbird is amplifying this message. And one of the biggest franchises of this post-patriotic, post-Patriot Act America, because remember, 9/11 changed everything, was we got the Stasi-inspired Patriot Act, which set up the Department of Homeland Security and completely changed the rules on what military can do on U.S. soil. Up to that point, it was completely unconstitutional for the military, the CIA, the NSA, to be conducting operations on U.S. soil. Well, we saw because of 9/11, all the rules changed. And so to sell this, you got this very sophisticated franchise from Hollyweird called NCIS, which had all these, you know, great characters that everybody loved. And they were the good guys out fighting bad guys and carrying out operations on U.S. soil. Right. And it spun off into several other franchises, one of which is NCIS Los Angeles, which is even more team diversity. Most of the new cast on this, in my line of work, I do a lot of elder care, so I watch a lot of television. You know, so you just learn to analyze this stuff. But one of the things about this, you know, NCIS Los Angeles is totally diversity. Most of the people that are on this badge, you know, people with badges and guns operating on U.S. soil aren't even born in America now. They've got Arabs, they've got Indians, they've got you name it, you know, anything but a straight white guy. And if you do have a straight guy, he's the wimpy, you know, one, right? You know, they got the big black bull that's in charge of everything. But the tagline for the most recent episode that aired last Sunday night was called A Land of Wolves. And the tagline reads, the NCIS team scrambles to find Kinsey when she is attacked and kidnapped by a mysterious militia group while helping a group of migrants cross the border. Right? So you've got this federal agency that's helping bring all these illegal aliens into the U.S., and you have a militia group that's trying to, you know, protect the borders, and suddenly they're the bad guys. And amazingly, the white supremacist militia is named the 11 from the 11 Confederate states of the Confederacy during the U.S. Uncivil War. So you can see that, yeah, this is the writing on the wall. These Bolsheviks are going to Holodomor us just like they always do. This is the thing about slime mold chicken swingers. They have an agenda. They have a mitzvah. Amalek must be blotted out. And so they carry that out until they get thrown out. Then they go set up shop somewhere else. And guess what, America? They're here and they want Amalek dead and your Amalek. So back to you.
Yeah, that's very well said. And of course, you know, these military training operations you're talking about, part of guerrilla warfare, you know, they're just getting prepared because they damn well know that once the agenda is truly understood by the average person, we're far from that now. Most of it is still secret and covert. Once the agenda is out in the open, it's going to be so unpopular with the average person. It's not even funny. And they, of course, know this. So they're getting prepared. And, of course, this is what all the fake and gay shenanigans surrounding the insurrection in January 6th is sort of, you know, a preemptive strike against people waking up as to what's really going on. And I'd like to take a quick stab at Giuseppe's initial question. As you know, what's going on with this, you know, demonizing the unvaccinated? Okay, welcome back to the third and final hour of Operation Scorpio. And of course, that first hour with our guests just flew by like at warp speed, let's say. And so we're here with Mr. Mike Gatti, the rebel madman himself, Daryl Wayne, the retired pilot, and Blackbird 9, and we're having a great discussion. And just briefly, I want to take a stab at Giuseppe's question about, you know, demonizing the unvaccinated and just the further division of society. And, you know, I was monitoring the enemy war transmissions known as the mainstream media a little earlier before the show, and they had a whole sort of story, and that's what it was, a story on this Serbian tennis star. I think his name is Djokovic or something like that. I don't follow sports enough to know, but it's close to that. And of course, this is the guy that's, you know, being held captive in Australia in detention because he's not vaccinated. And he's dared to say that he's actually cautious and concerned about these vaccines for athletes. Anyway, they had this whole story about how awful this man is. Not only did he dare to talk out against the quack scene, but he, after he tested positive for COVID, he was seen wandering around a museum without a mask on and actually had his arm around a child for a photo shoot and then traveled to some other country to play tennis and, you know, do more training. Just showing the awful insensitivity and callousness of this man, all because he's not vaccinated. So it just shows you how, you know, they can make or break anybody on the world stage that they want, and demonize anyone they want, or turn them into a megastar. That's the world we live in now. That's the clown show, Don King, WWF clown show world we live in. So, you know, for this third hour, you know, what I'd like to do is sort of turn over the questions to all the panel members, and, you know, let each of the panel members sort of pose a question or a topic they want to bring aboard for this third hour. And why don't we start off with Mike Gatti? Mike, where would you like to take the conversation? What's been burning in your mind here for this last hour of the show, sir?
Well, a lot of things, Dave, but could I ask Bravo Niner a couple of questions before I move into the big one?
Oh, absolutely, sir. Go ahead.
Hey, Blackbird, are you anywhere near Watauga County, North Carolina?
I am in Watauga County, North Kakalaki.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm between Boone and Blowing Rock on the ridgeline. We're at about 4,000 feet.
Oh, well, you know that Boone, North Carolina always advertised itself as the city of four seasons. The remarkable thing was they could have all four seasons in the same day.
That is true. Don't like the weather? Wait 15 minutes. It will change.
It will change. Absolutely. I didn't know you were there. Gosh, we were almost neighbors at one time, buddy. So I lived, was brought up at the foot of Mount Mitchell over there.
The highest mountain in North Kakalaki.
The highest mountain east of the Mississippi, sir.
East of Mississippi. That's right.
Yeah. And it sits right beside the second highest mountain east of the Mississippi, which is Clingman's Dome. Am I correct?
I think so.
All right. Well, let's quit reminiscing here. But here was something I was wondering about very quickly. Are you very much into Supreme Court decisions?
Yes.
All right. Is it, by any chance, would you be available to come on the program with Daryl Wayne and I tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock Eastern?
How late does it go? Because I might have a conflict with Mr. Giuseppe.
6 to 8.
Giuseppe, would that be good for us?
Oh, Fred, if we, I don't know that we're going to fill in for Robert Ravel, but that starts at 11 p.m. at night. It's much
right,
later.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess the answer is yes. So if we're going to get slammed with the storm Izzy, and if we still have power and still have internet, I would love to come on.
All right. We'd love to bring you on. Scorpio here's our producer for that show. We'd love to bring you in. I know DW would love to have you. We're going to talk about, probably in the first hour, we're going to talk about the census of 1860 and how that exposes a terrible fraud. And then on the second hour, we want to go into the Supreme Court decision on Thursday of how that is a total fraud and a farce, setting precedent for future despotism.
Oh, yes. That I'm still trying to get my head around exactly what happened with that whole fiasco this past week.
Well, we look forward to having you, sir. And hopefully we can set that up.
Eastern?
That would be 6 p.m. Eastern. Yes, sir.
Okay. Got you down.
All right, buddy. We got you. And we really look forward to that. I know DW will love that as well. Here is the thing that I keep thinking about, guys. And have we been cursed? The people in this group and the people who agree with us, have we been cursed with the insight to see what these people are actually doing while 320 some million of our fellow Americans don't have a freaking clue? Is, you know, I've wondered sometimes, and I've thought about this because Bravo Niner, I was yelling and screaming at the TV. My wife likes the NCIS series. And of course I keep reminding her that, how it must just absolutely tear Mark Harmon's heart out every time he has to pick up a pistol because he's the most anti-gun SOB I've ever heard of.
Well, guns are okay as long as law enforcement are using them, Mike, so it's okay.
Yeah, well, that's true. But if you look at especially NCIS Los Angeles, they have been playing this diversity card, and they have been playing these terrible groups they're going up against, these domestic terrorist groups. They've been playing on this for a year or more and doing it pretty pretty big time. And the NCIS New Orleans, which got canceled, was doing it even more. They were really big into the almost every show was these domestic terrorists. I was surprised they didn't start hauling out Confederate flags. But it just absolutely was, and this is nothing but a mind control indoctrination program as people sit down in front of the lobotomy box and watch this. As a matter of fact, when I start questioning what's happening, my wife tells me, it's entertainment. Go in the other room, please. So, guys, that would be my question with everything that's going on. Are we cursed having an insight here? Have we been cursed by actually researching and doing years of study? Are we the cursed people?
Well, let's let DW take that, because I've heard him bring up the Cassandra effect previously. So, Daryl, why don't you jump in on that one?
Well, as usual, Mike always asks the hard question. I used to indulge myself and feel sorry for myself, and then I stopped doing that because it was childish. And I realized that it was actually a blessing, and it's part of your cognitive and proof of inoculation of your cognitive and spiritual aspects of who you are. So as Giuseppe said in the previous hour, the only real immunity is a natural immunity for your body. The only real immunity through inoculation is to have sampled a live bit of the poison cognitively and spiritually, and then you get an immune response of the mind and the spirit. And this is a natural immunization of your mind and your spirit. And it comes from your first principles and your belief system and your worldview. And so, although it feels like a disease, when your immune system kicks in, then you realize that where the antidote comes from, and that's your principles, your belief system, your philosophy. And so if you're a coward, it would be a curse. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit and courage, then it's a blessing.
Wow, Daryl, those are words of wisdom for sure. And, I'm pretty sure that I've had COVID over this last week or so, actually. It's not been a whole lot of fun, but I certainly wasn't about to check myself into the hospital and get on a big bag of Remdesivir and shut my kidneys down and get put on a ventilator. But it has had some strange effects that are beyond the usual cold or flu. Most of it'll be for me. So strange thoughts kind of go through your mind. You get into a weird mental place, and I've had sort of some strange pains on in my face and my head that I've never felt before as the result of this. But you know, I'm getting better. It's not a big deal, but it certainly wasn't a whole lot of fun. Whatever this is, and I'm convinced that they may be spreading this contagion by spraying us with so-called chemtrails. I think they might have put some new juice in the formula because they've been spraying here in Southern California really, really heavy over the last few weeks. And gosh, coincidentally, now everybody's sick with this contagion, whatever you want to call it. Just everyone I know has got a touch of something right now. So anyway, excellent response, DW. And maybe BB9, why don't you pick up the ball here and take it where you want.
It's so funny because I have owned that, the whole thing about having the curse you know, you can come on my show, but I have to warn you, I got the curse. And, you know, he takes your chances, takes your risk, throw the stones, you know. But to me, I was like you, you know, I lost everything, you know, and it's just poor, poor, pitiful me. Why did this happen to me? This isn't fair, right? Every child knows when something's not fair. But then you just kind of say, well, you know what? I didn't go looking for a fight, but here we are. And in a way, you know, it is a blessing to be born at this time to fight in this battle and have been given a lifetime of training to prepare me for this.
Amen.
So I just think, yeah, it's a curse, but we're going to go with it because we're fighting the good fight and, you know, we're going to win. So back to you.
Well said. Very well said. Giuseppe, what are your thoughts on the curse and the situation we now find ourselves?
Oh, my thoughts are that, you know, the soul is eternal and a lot of us have a wisdom of many, many lifetimes previous to this one. And we're here to, we're like the Lord of the Rings right now, the Fellowship of the Ring. The odds look daunting, but, you know, the Talmudic cancer is satanic. That is, they are a death cult. They are as evil as Frederick describes them, slime mold. I describe them as a cancer malignancy, same thing. But, you know, we champion Team Divine, and so it's an honor to be part of this. The odds don't look good, but you know what? I have faith in the divine, and so if it wasn't meant to be here doing this, I wouldn't be doing it.
Hey, Double G, may I say something very quickly?
Of course, Mike. Please do.
Just popped into my head, buddy. Had it not been for this curse, I wouldn't know any of you gentlemen and a whole bunch of other folks that I have met over the course of the past 10 years or so. I wouldn't know any of you. And my life would be much weaker without having you people and knowing you people and getting to know and understand that I'm not in this battle by myself. Thank you.
Oh, Mike, that's so true. And, you know, I have to agree, concur completely with you. That's been the greatest blessing of doing this show is having met you and so many, you know, amazing people, both who are spiritually advanced, you know, and full of knowledge. And I have the utmost respect for all you guys. And, you know, all of us have taken our hits. When you get into this kind of information, especially if you're willing to put yourself on the line and do shows, you know, you're going to take hits in your life. And just knowing this information changes who you are. And it changes your life path, and there's not a damn thing you can do about it. You just have to have faith that it's all in the hands of God, and we're all on our own personal journey of knowledge and learning and getting closer to the Holy Spirit. I think those are great thoughts, Mike. And DW, why don't you take the helm here? And what's been on your mind? Your philosophical mind, where would you like to take the conversation here?
Oh, thanks. Well, I, you know, when you're in combat and warfare, which is what this is, has been for a long time. You have to look at the battle space on many fronts. And, one of those fronts is, how do you remedy the situation and specifically identify how you remedy? Okay. So, let me give you an example of what I don't consider a remedy. A remedy in the battle we face is not waiting for the other side to fail. That's not a remedy. Okay. Yeah. That's not a strategy. Waiting for the other side to fall apart. That is not an actionable remedy. So I know it's kind of a big question. What are some of the ideas of what remedies really look like for American men and women and their children and the future, and do we have a responsibility to self-govern? And I mean outside of government, do we have, will we reclaim the right to self-govern ourselves? Kind of a big question.
That's a great question. And yeah, let's hand that over to Mike first, because that's right up his alley. Go ahead, sir.
Wow. This is, you know, I feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm just not sure where to start. take it easy there, DW. Don't collapse on me, buddy. Man, I tell you what, that is the reason I love you guys. You guys hit some, you know, you don't fool around with a pitch on the outside corner. You throw it right down the heart of the plate. That's why I like all you guys except DW. I never have liked him, but that's beside the point. But we do get along to some extent, right, DW?
Well, when I pay you, I got to pay you to do that.
Oh, yeah. Damn, I forgot that. Check's in the mail, right?
Right.
But, guys, this is very interesting times. And I look at this, and you know what? Here is something that people might find unusual. Every day when I start off the day, I have a prayer. And that is, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be here at this time, at this point in history. I don't shy away from it. I look at it and I stop and think back to what the Bravo Niner said. And that was, and it made me think of Isaiah and the remnant. And when, you know, God told Isaiah, I want you to go out there and I want you to tell these people all these crazy things that are happening under King Uzziah. You need to tell them. Give it to them straight. Give it to them hard. Don't water it down. Just give them the straight stuff. And, of course, Isaiah says, well, yes, Lord, I'll be happy to do that. And then God says, but got to warn you, they ain't going to listen. And so Isaiah says, well, why do I do this? Why do you want me to do this? And he says, because I have a remnant. And I don't know if you guys have experienced the same thing, but I sure have. I've had members of the remnant come out of nowhere. Had a gentleman show up at a program I gave in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We've been friends ever since. Didn't know him before that time. There is a remnant out there, and we must speak to that remnant. But then, you know, Isaiah said, you know, what happens, you know, how will I know if I'm doing this thing right, Lord? How will I know? And he said, well, if you make a lot of money and a lot of people show up, you're doing it wrong. So to me, that has been the most critical thing I have learned. And I've been attacked this past week on one of those Patriot radio shows. I've been attacked and I expect it. And I've gotten to the point to where I welcome it, because I know it's only there to make me stronger and to make our effort stronger. And guys, here is the one thing that I am sure of. As we progress, more and more and more people, and I see it even now, more and more people are brought to the message that we have, the message that we have been given. It's not our message. It's something we share. Something we have been given. It's, you know, in various ways, a gift. So we're here for a purpose. And that is what I look at. And I hope I didn't jump too far off the trail there, being a mosquito in a nudist colony, guys.
Well, Mike, those are some great points. And you know, ultimately, this really is a spiritual test. And this, in my own personal life, I've just had the calling to keep upping my game in every way and improve what I do and how I interact with the people around me, and really working on my spiritual path every day. So this really is a test for all of us. And And you're right. Every day more people come aboard our side. Very few people can start to have realizations about what's going on and then switch back and turn that off. But very few people can do that. And, you know, unfortunately, I think one of the biggest problems we have is so many people, as DW was saying, they're just sitting back and waiting for the enemy to fail. But also so many people are just waiting for Donald Trump to come back and fix everything. And unfortunately, this is the case of you better be careful what you ask for. Blackbird 9, why don't you jump on this question of Daryl's, and see where you want to take it, sir. Go ahead.
Well, just want to reiterate or amplify the message of, had it not been for 9/11, I would have never met some of the most wonderful people, brilliant people, loving, caring people around the world that are part of this truth movement. And yeah, that is just a gift that I've been given, that, you know, I would have never met you guys and so many other people that, you know, I've been through the trenches with these 20 some years. So, you know, just throw that out. One of the things I was reminded of was a piece I did real early on back in 2015 called "What Happens When an Unstoppable Force Meets an Immovable Object." And this idea of these two systems that are completely incompatible with each other, that, you know, are vying for control of this planet. And this is what we're part of right now. And, you know, one of the, and I guess I ended the article was the line that may have been a Chinese organ or maybe not, but it's, "May you live in interesting times." And, you know, and that is a curse blessing in this paradox Chinese system, which I, you know, is the same kind of paradox of the impenetrable shields and the unstoppable spears. Right. And so it's just this idea of, you know, we are in these crucial times and the stakes are high, but, you know, we are here for a reason and a purpose. And like I said, I think we're going to win this thing, or I know we're going to win this thing. I might not be alive still to see it, but you know, this darkness will be, you know, taken out. So back to you.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. Operator error. I was muted. Excellent response. Giuseppe, what are your thoughts on Daryl's question, sir?
Well, my thoughts are you know, a twist on the classic phrase, the greatest triumph of the devil is convincing the world that he doesn't exist. And the, in my mind, the ancillary to that is the internationalist elf has convinced the world, which they are literally the children of Satan, to perceive them as the perpetual victims when they are psychopathic, cutthroat, inbred, Machiavellian subhumans. And if we do not treat them the same way they treat us, this is not going to go well for us.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's true. And of course, the international elf has convinced people they're the victim, not the perpetrator. And so, you know, any criticism is anti-Semitic. Oh, and it's going to lead to violence and another Holocaust, the one that didn't even happen. But yeah, so good points, Giuseppe. Blackbird 9, what are the thoughts that have been eating away at your mind? And what question would you like to pose this panel? Go take it away, sir.
I guess, you know, just since we didn't get to have our roundtables this year for various reasons, just what does everybody have on their radar for 2022 where they think the main deltas, the main changes are going to happen this year? Where do you think the main battlefields are going to be for 2022? And what shifts are we going to see in the perception of our situation?
Well, that was an excellent question. I'll take a stab at this briefly. I think we're going to see, climate change rear its head, and everything's going to be about climate change. And of course, they're sort of creating this system around us where you need to be tested regularly because you're just a filthy, dirty human being that's just essentially a big bag of virus infested flesh. That's really all you are. And so you've got to be tested and vaccinated perpetually, or else you are not fit to live in this world. And I think that's going to be the game they're playing. And of course, it's your fault. The planet is warming up, even though we're having record-breaking winter right now and lots of very cold storms happening across the country. Never mind that, slave. Time to turn off your power and get that electric-powered car and stay at home and hide. So I think that's what's coming, and as well as the possibility of a fake and gay ginned-up conflict of some type or another. As a contingency plan, as Mike likes to talk about, you always have to have a backup plan in case these other things don't go as well as they might hope. And speaking of Mike, why don't you take the question next, sir? Go ahead.
Well, thanks, guys. When I was teaching in Colorado from 2010 to 2016, about 6 years, I taught armed self-defense classes, and I taught survival classes. And one of the things that I would tell everyone who came to my classes, and there were quite a few, I would tell them that, number one, you have the arms, you have the ammo to defend yourself in a critical situation. You have the food. If you have been storing food, you have means for purifying water. You have all of these things at your fingertips if you are preparing for this. But the most critical thing that you must have is the right mindset. Are you prepared to defend yourself? And I used to ask people, especially the ladies who would show up in my classes, are you willing to take the life of another human being? And if you're not willing to take the life of another human being, you should never own a gun. And I had people say, well, I'm not sure I'm willing to take the life of another human being. And I said, well, what if they were about to kill your children? Ooh, attitude changed. People, here is something I think most of us have not prepared for. And I said us, I believe that mentally I have prepared. You have to prepare yourself mentally for what's coming. And people, I'm going to tell you straight up, in the year that is coming, if you have prepared to survive the coming onslaught that is about to happen, which is traditional from every socialist government in the history of man. If you are not prepared, now stop and think about this. Once, as we refer to it as, once the defecation hits the round circular object, or in the word of the Appalachian folk that Blackbird 9 and I would know, when the shit hits a fan. If you're not ready at that time, because there are going to be people that you know, people that you have known for years, who once this thing falls apart, they are going to come after you because they know you have the means of survival. If you're not prepared to defend that, because they will come after it. When they panic, they will come after you. If you are not prepared to defend that, then get busy and prepare yourself. Because what is coming is not pretty, people. And it's not going to be something that you will see on CNN or Fox News.
Oh, I agree, Mike. And I think what's coming is going to be unimaginable to most people, unfortunately. And if we make it through this year with any sense of normalcy, I think by whatever that is, if by 2023, we're going to see a reality that is hard to even fathom at this point. And so, yeah, you better be ready to defend yourself and your family and be ready for the unimaginable, quite frankly. Giuseppe, what would you like to add to this, sir?
Can I jump in real quick?
Go ahead. That? Absolutely.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just want to reiterate that that is so important. I also used to teach wilderness survival classes and such. And that is the key thing. If you do not have the will to survive, you will not survive. And that's part of Marxist demoralization is you basically have programmed an entire generation to think that Western civilization and white people aren't worth saving, that your people are not worth saving, you're not worth saving. And so to get your head around that, yes, we are a people worth saving and we will survive is very, very important. And also in game theory, one of the biggest strategies is once you realize that someone is coming for you, you go after them because you do not want to let them choose the battlefield. You know, but once you are in that existential dilemma that that person is here to kill you, and if you let them decide the battlefield, they have the tactical advantage. So you'd best figure out a strategy to take them out before they can take you out. And you know, this is, you know, game theory 101. And I think this is part of where I'm seeing the shift turn is that we are going on the offensive now as a Western civilization, people all over. And this doesn't mean, you know, hard power, use your soft power, you know, just get your head in the game. So back to you.
Damn, Blackbird Nine, you are my brother from another mother. Us Appalachian rednecks, sure, you must be in, we must be in the same bloodline somewhere, brother. I find myself, my thoughts echoing your every word. Pardon
like
me, guys.
Say, we're all cousins in. Up here in these mountains.
Well, I think we are all related, and at least in spirit, my brother.
Absolutely, absolutely. Certainly in spirit, brother from another mother. Giuseppe, what would you like to throw into the mix here?
Well, to answer Blackbird Nine's query of what is he, I think, is coming in 2022. I think that the COVID scamdemic narrative is collapsing, and they're going to hang out first. Tony the Rat Fauci, as Jim Fetzer describes him, out to dry. He's going, and they're going to try and protect the crypto Jew Gates. He'll be next. And then they need some massive distraction to avoid the government falling apart, because the government has gotten so far behind the internationalist Jew assassin squad, which is Big Pharma. And so many people are going to begin dying from fast-growing cancers, which comes from the death jab. So many young, healthy people are getting destroying their hearts from the death jab. This was forced on the Goyim cattle by this government acting as the slave or acting as the operatives from the internationalist Jew Rothschild cabal, the Satanists. So I think that the great silent majority is starting to stir and starting to murmur, and you have the levels of death and maiming that are coming. They're beginning now, but it's going to get so much worse in the next few months. And you can already see the Mockingbird media trying to control the neighbor narrative, and they're going to hang out a couple of pawns like Fauci and all that, and they're trying to somehow preserve Big Pharma and corporate allopathic medicine is a viable option, but I think it's all going to fall apart. And then where do they go? I think they have to go to a hot war somehow to stir patriotism for this country.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, or the appearance of a hot war.
Yeah. Double G, pardon me, Dave. May I jump
go ahead,
in
sir.
There? and just comment on what Double G said?
Oh, absolutely.
That is so, goes back to the very beginning of this program. Russia, Russia, Russia.
Right.
How do you combine the people of this country? How do you congeal a resistance and a support for government better than yelling into the ears of every right-wing conservative Christian, Russia, Russia, Russia?
Right, with Vladimir Putin cast as the new Hitler invading the innocent country of Ukraine for no reason at all. It's just incredible. And Giuseppe, I think you're right too about, you know, that the narrative falling apart, you know, with the vaccine or the quack scene, you know, that segment I saw earlier on the enemy war transmissions, of these people fully vaccinated in hospitals, sick as a dog with all kinds of stuff hooked up to them, lying in a hospital bed saying, well, yeah, sure, I got COVID and yeah, I'm sick, but my God, it would have been so much worse if I wasn't vaccinated. I mean, I'm sitting there laughing at this and just amazed anybody could take it seriously. DW, what are your thoughts on
Dave, if I may, just one simple question before you go to my buddy there in Alabama.
Absolutely, sir. Go ahead.
All right. Here is the question. Why do we keep asking these redundant questions? Why is that continued to be the effort when it, I don't know, it just seems to be so obvious. And pardon me for the interruption, but we look at this over and over and over again. It's, you know, let's the what everything they come up with, which says, let's support the government because they can see us through this, is nothing but a continuation of the PSYOP. And DW, pardon me for jumping on your time there, buddy, but I just, that was just overwhelming my intellect at the time.
That's fine, brother. Good points, everybody. So if I take the really, that's a great question, by the way, BB9. So if I take the big arc of history, the long arc, okay, well, let's go back to the French Revolution. They had internal turmoil. They had domestic unrest. Well, what else is going on? Well, they're in the middle of a war too. Yeah, they're also in a war. So as Cicero says, you can resist an external, I'm paraphrasing him, you can resist an external enemy, but you know, it seldom is that you can resist treason and deception from the inside. So this is what we have. If we have a pattern here, we have a plan that works. It works every time. It has. What's the next time? I would use example the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917, not the one in 1904 or 5. That one failed. But the Russians, the Czars, weren't in an external war then. They were able to resist the internal treason and deception because they weren't involved on multiple fronts. In 1917, the Russian Tsar is engaged in a full-on war, international war, at the same time that the Bolsheviks, the Jewish Marxist Bolsheviks, global squatters, invade Russia, and now they're taken down. This is too much for them to resist. We see, we have a blueprint here. We have a pattern. So now if we take that same pattern and we apply it, that dynamic, that situation to us, well, we've been infiltrated, co-opted, subsumed. And what better way to use an external, whether it's organic or synthetic, contrived conflict with Russia, 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 and use that with propaganda and demagoguery by the government propaganda machine to shift the Overton window on basically white Christian, patriotic, nationalist-minded people in general. And this is just another form of divide and conquer. So this divides and conquers. So I predict that they'll use demagoguery to shift the Overton window to the next level on the general idea of what's a nationalist oriented individuals, so they can use that to justify these next level of impositions on us, tyranny. This also plays into the Supreme Court decision on creating another distinct set of classes here. So then we have the citizenry, the general citizenry, but now we have medical people who are in a different caste system that they are going to be compelled. So they're already doing that as a major social divide and conquer strategy. And then my third one here will be that they will also use the food shortages with the merging that, the food shortages and supply chain shortages, with a compelling people to move into perceiving what money is through scarcity, food insecurity, possibly starvation, to move you into that next level of compliance. So I don't see a red dawn situation. I see them continuing to use these other methods to change your perceptions and take you to the next level. So that's what I see.
Interesting. One question that I've been wondering too is how connected, at the top of the food chain, are the governments of the United States and China and Russia? I mean, at the top, are they really just sort of sitting together in a committee and deciding what the next move is, or are there real, national conflicts happening? I just wonder, if we are, if we don't already have, a world government essentially, and that all of these leaders are just, on the stage as a show. That's something I keep wondering. And the other thing that's striking my mind is how, when we were growing up and in the system, none of us thought, well, hey, what would happen if the entire system became weaponized against us, right, and actively worked to destroy us and our lives? That was just too paranoid of a thought to even imagine. Yet here we are living in that reality. So I don't know. What are your guys' thoughts on that line of thinking?
I completely agree. And here's breaking news. Armed man claiming to have bombs takes hostages at Texas synagogue. Oy vey, we've got another false flag. I think it's just going.
Synagogue, no less, of course.
Yeah, of course.
Just last night, I was monitoring this enemy war transmission that was a documentary about, right-wing extremism and what a danger it is. And they were warning, about the FBI has a whole special unit on bomb making, and this is quite a concern. And, they're even warning hardware store owners to report any suspicious activity buying these precursor chemicals that might be able to make a bomb. So that's really interesting, Giuseppe. What perfect timing.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and the other thing that's going on, excuse me, Mike, I'll be brief.
Go ahead.
Is what the other thing that's still going on, and this falls under the classic, I don't know if it was Will Rogers or Mark Twain, said the classic line, there's three types of people in this country: those that make things happen, those that watch things happen, and those that ask what happened, right? Clueless. And there's a lot of clueless people, because right now all the local, used to be the weekly community newspapers, are now all digital. And I'm getting emails several times a day. Oh, there's free COVID tests at the XYZ, the Reston Library. And the line is, half a mile. It's like, what kind of an idiot, if you have a cold, doesn't just stay home and get over your cold, like Scorpio did, like everyone I know would do since I've been born. But now all of a sudden they rebranded. Last year they rebranded the flu as COVID, and now this year the sniffles winter cold is Omicron. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. This is such quackery, such scientism. It's a cult, a weaponized cult, and it's just absurd. So that's the other nutty thing that's going on. So these three type of people, there may be stirrings and musings in the silent majority, but the not silent majority are sadly millions of dipshits.
Yeah, that's so true. And you see the footage of these idiots standing out in the freezing cold to get their COVID test, and it's like, I keep thinking to myself, didn't your grandmother tell you not to stay out in the cold like a fool?
Right.
But there they are, just wanting to get that test, and our magnanimous federal government is going to hand out free tests, 8 a month, just to usher in this idea that you must be tested. And guys, we're almost at the end of the show. Down to the final 6 minutes or so. So I'd like to offer each of you guys a little time for a final thought and where you want to leave this conversation. And maybe Mr. Mike Gatti could go first. Go ahead, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Yes. Gosh, guys, this has been just a wonderful exchange. And I would like to thank all of you gentlemen for standing up and being there, because you recharge my batteries just being able to be on the same program with you guys. You give me renewed vigor to go out there and continue doing what I'm doing. So I am in the debt to you for gentlemen, and probably will always be in debt to you gentlemen. But we are looking at some strange times, and I do not think that the majority of Americans are anywhere near prepared for this. And I believe that what we're looking at right now is we've got 27 Democrats who say they're not going to run for re-election in the House of Representatives. Joe Biden's approval ratings are at an all-time low. I see the fact that the powers that be think that what they need to do in 2022 to keep the right-wing Christian conservatives sitting on their ass and doing nothing is to assure them that a Republican victory in 2022 is going to be the savior that they have been waiting for. And
well, Mike, that'll surely fix it. A Republican sweep of the House and Senate, but then the return of the glorious Trump in 2024, I think we'll be on a good road by then. Yeah.
Well, I totally agree, Dave, but that would be my parting thought. That is exactly what I think. And that is what they're pointing us at right now, is that, hey, we need to keep this right-wing Christian conservative group sitting on their ass and doing nothing, so we'll make them think they are now in charge.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I totally agree. DW, final thought, sir.
Well, it's just been a real pleasure on my part to hang out here on Saturday afternoon, and thanks for the invite and including me. I'm looking forward to having BB9 on with us tomorrow night and the rest of the whole crew. What the heck? and it'd be great. And so I would just leave. I'd just leave this conversation with a warning of the following. Beware of misanthropes masquerading as philanthropists. Beware.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah. Words of wisdom for sure. BB9, why don't you give us your parting thoughts, sir?
Well, first, Happy New Year. Best of all of, to all of you in 2022. And it's been an honor and a privilege to be with you gentlemen today. And like you said, just, you know, gets that fire in the belly going. I love hanging out with you guys. It makes me want to go out and, you know, take on the world, right? And one of the shameless plugs here is for the Hills and Holes games that I'm developing, HA, H-A-H, and one of the things about Hills and Holes is the third Saturday rendezvous. And so with just getting your family and your friends together with a purpose every third Saturday of the month throughout 2022, I'm very curious to see how much we can push the Overton window in 2022 in our families and stabilizing our families and you know, basically reinforcing our family and friends units, because this is what's going to come down to. The battle we are fighting is so far beyond Democrats and Republicans, conservatives and liberals. We are fighting an existential battle for our future. I mean, this is, you know, this is it. If we lose this one, it's darkness for the planet. And so just that commitment of every third Saturday, getting together with a purpose, not to party, not to play, but to work together and, you know, with the Hills and Holes model, I think we can really make a difference. So back to you, and thanks again for having me.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent. Yeah, and, you know, I'm trying to just get together with people of like mind and just have, you know, informal get-togethers, talk about ideas for the future. So that's a great, great thought. And we have to do things in real life. You know, that's great. We're doing stuff on the internet, but real life is where it's at. Giuseppe, why don't you close this on out, sir?
Well, support these fine heroes. Frederick C. Blackburn, Blackbird 9, is Wednesdays, 8 p.m. live at his website. Mike Gaddy, the Rebel Madman, and Daryl, Fridays, 12 p.m. Eastern, and Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern on Revolution Radio Studio A. And I just think that it's everyone has brought their perspective to the shitstorm that's going to be 2022 and 2023. And let's everything comes from the globalist. The Great Reset wants to destroy you, your Amalek. Do not let the internationalist elf destroy you, your family, your community. It's time to treat them the way they treat us.
There we go. Perfect timing. Well, that's it. Another 3 hours down the chute. Bada bing, bada boom. And next week, everyone, bye-bye.